Deputy Director General at Treasury Monale Ratsoma has been appointed head of the BRICS New Development Bank for the African Regional Center. He officially steps into the position next week, Monday. It's been said that the bank will be beneficial to South Africa in terms of assisting with additional funding for large infrastructure projects. As the bank grows, it hopes to be in a position to provide loans for infrastructure funding to other African countries as well. Monale Ratsoma, a newly appointed head of the BRICS New Development Bank for the African Regional Center, joins us on the line now. Thanks so much, Monale, for your time today. So right at the top, congratulations on your appointment. How are you feeling as you ready yourself to take over the reins?
Thank you very much. I think just mixed emotions. One, having to step out from the current role and having to step into a new role. But I think the focus is really the challenge that lies ahead, and the quicker one rolls up the sleeves, the better.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, the bank's main aim is to develop and drive infrastructure investment on the continent in particular, and to complement a government's efforts in doing just that. What's your assessment, Monale, of the kind of investment we are seeing right now relative to what's needed?
Yeah, I mean, Africa is known to have a large infrastructure gap, and South Africa is no exception. And where it becomes problematic is that you obviously end up with a considerable amount of trade leakage to parts of the world beyond the continent, because the infrastructure within the continent is not sufficient to facilitate free movement of goods and free movement of people. So until such time that we address the infrastructure bottlenecks, then of course the continent will continue to underperform the rest of the world, and also see that most of its trade leaks to other parts of the world, which aid those worlds developing faster than the continent itself.
So within that context, I mean, we've got the projects being discussed at the initial stages to pertain to the territory of the five BRICS nations, but specific attention expected to be paid to the African continent, because the BRICS New Development Bank will be situated in South Africa. So how much impetus do you see investment garnering from here on out, realistically speaking, with the help of the New Development Bank?
And of course, I mean, given that the bank itself is still in its infant stage, there will be some balance sheet constraints, which is where we are. But even within that, with the capital that members have provided, there's projects that have been approved elsewhere within member countries. And in South Africa, there's projects that will be approved in the next few months or so. But the idea, of course, will be to expand the balance sheet of the New Development Bank to be able to have a much larger reach. And that's where I think the continent will be benefiting increasingly. So one such program, of course, would be that the bank will be able to borrow money itself and then on lend to various infrastructure programs in the continent of Africa and in the other parts of the world as well as it expands.
Monale, that being said, where you talk about balance sheet constraints, how much room for innovation do you see there being in terms of mechanism to attract more private sector capital in the form of pension funds, sovereign wealth funds and insurance companies, for example?
Increasingly, I think the world is going there, and not so much about just the traditional way of, issuing loans and borrowing in capital markets, and then you get traditional fund managers, buying those bonds as a form of lending the institution's money, but thinking of blended financing, thinking of private sector participation with the public sector, of course, in the way of easing the pressure on fiscal balance sheet. I think that's increasingly is going to be where the bank itself will have to go. I mean, if it was to fail, then it means that it's reinventing itself along the lines of the traditional multilateral banks like the World Bank and the FDB and so forth. So it has to find itself a new niche. You have to find itself new ways of going about things, because the challenge is increasingly quite dynamic. I mean, the fourth industrial revolution brings itself different challenges. So I think innovation and disruption will have to fall within that space. So I think that's essentially what underpins maintains the bank and thinking that it plays in the space of developing economies, and which have got challenges, by the way, balance sheet challenges larger than the traditional economies or developed economies. So without innovation, then there's very limited scope that, that the bank would be able to make an impact.
Absolutely. And of course, the bank would have to present solid investment cases along the way as it does that. What do you think needs to be prioritized right now?
I think we need to really prioritize how it helps, and when it's more an economic question, how it helps countries develop economically, how it helps the regions where it operates connect better. And one of the statistics that have been shared, and we can use Africa again as an example, is that intra-trade in the continent of Africa is at about between 13 and 15%. Intra-trade in Europe, for instance, is sitting closer to 60%. I think what that exposes is that the degree to which those regions, say, in Europe have been able to develop across boundaries, and that has facilitated movement of goods and trade, and therefore intra-development. So the regions that the bank operates in also have got a very low intra-trade averages, and in itself says that it must increasingly look to connect countries. Mm-hmm. Regional economic integration really needs to be the focus on where the bank wants to take the economies that it serves.
Yeah. Manale, there are pretty lofty goals that have been put on the table here. And with that, many have been skeptical of just how much muscle the African arm actually boasts when it comes to capital allocation within this BRICS ambit. Is that skepticism warranted?
No, it is not. I mean, the way the membership is currently structured is that each of the five members own about 20% of the bank, and is by equitable contribution. So it will be afforded, at least in the initial onset, with the five members, equal attention. What is also under discussion now, which then will test further that question, is when new membership is opened, how that is going to interface and how the regions are going to receive attention. But my suspicion is that the very same model that underpins its foundation will also apply when membership is open across many other additional member countries.
Manale, beyond that, is it realistic to expect that this will change the dynamic in world financing, with not as much reliance needing to be placed on Western capital and Western finances?
No, I think without doubt. I think it's got a role to play. And it's because the problem statement has been clearly defined, is that that which these developing countries are receiving in terms of resources is not sufficient to plug the developmental gap that exists. So increasingly then it means that new ways of mobilizing financing is going to be required. And I think the NDB plays a key role as being one such institution that is going to help in plugging that gap.
Well, Manale, thanks so much for your time this evening, and good luck to you as you venture down this new path. Manale Ratsoma is a newly appointed head of the BRICS New Development Bank for the African Regional Center.